Blog Talk Radio.
Paul Chapman and Pastor Doris Smith, the host of Facing Your Fears on Blog Talk Radio, is evangelist Norma Chapman. Ms. Chapman has interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can and currently writing three other books. She studied and attended Union Baptist Theological College of New Orleans. She's also an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. Sits on the NAACP Executive Committee and formerly a member of SCLC Justice for Girls. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour, Light of Inspiration and Motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening to all of our listeners on today. Yes, you're now tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, with our awesome co-host, Pastor Doris Smith out of Miami, Florida. As always, we're going to bring the co-host in and let her do an opening prayer.
Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you for the show today. We thank you for the host today. We thank you for our listeners today, and we pray, Lord, that the information shared would truly benefit all connected. In Jesus' name we pray and say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. This evening, we're so grateful.
Tune in. And
go right ahead.
Tune in, Lord Jesus. Remember, listeners, you too can tune in and join us on this awesome episode on today just by pressing that number one on your phone. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to share your thoughts and experience on today's topics. And we do have another exciting show prepared for you on today. We have two guests in the studio at this time. We're going to bring them in. Without further ado, the co-host is going to bring them in and introduce you to them. Co-host.
Greetings. I just want to share with you as you're connected in on Facing Your Fears radio talk show for this show this evening, our special guest. I'll be yielding so that she will have all the time necessary to share with you to our Representative Candace Newell. And following Representative Candace Newell, we will have our Patricia Robertson. So at this time, I'm going to yield to Representative Candace Newell. We welcome you.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me. I won't tarry long before I start in getting on with these amendments because I know a lot of people have a lot of questions about amendments. And with some of these, we don't want you to vote just no because you don't understand. If you vote no, it's because you understood and you knew exactly what you were saying no to. The very first amendment that we have on the ballot is Amendment Number 1, which is a sales tax streaming. It's centralized sales tax. Right now, each parish collects their own individual sales tax, which are collected throughout the year. And the parishes are able to use them when they receive that money and use it how they see fit. What is being proposed is to create a commission which would administer the sales tax collection into a single entity and then distribute this money back out to the parishes. As you know, Mayor Cantrell has worked with Governor John Bel Edwards a few years ago with a campaign that she had was called Our Fair Share, because New Orleans is not receiving her fair share of the taxes that are being collected by the city. So she was working with Governor Edwards to get some more of that tax money to come back to New Orleans. She got more of it, but it's still not, the amount that we're getting is not, it's not indicative of how much we actually collect. We get a lot less than what we actually collect. So what the problem is with this is that the commission is going to be comprised of a group of people who are not going to be under the control, under the advisement, under the purview of the legislature or of the executive, which is John Bel Edwards, the governor. So we don't know who's going to have say-so over this board. We don't know what the makeup of this board is going to be. We don't know how much the administrative cost is going to be, because normally when you have an amendment like this, there's a state statute that goes along with it to tell you just that. How many members are going to be on the board? How long can they serve on the board? If there's an administrative cost, how much the cost is going to be, and what's the cap? That is not the case in this situation. So the commercial that just came out recently, it has the perfect analogy. This is just as though you were giving your paycheck to your landlord or to your mortgage company and waiting for them to give you your money back so that you could pay your bills. That is the perfect analogy as to what this tax structure is going to be. The money is going to be taken from Orleans Parish and all other parishes, put into a pot, and then we're going to have to wait for this commission to bring that money back. And it's not to say that there are going to be any people from New Orleans with any ties or any care of New Orleans on this committee. And it's not just New Orleans that has this problem. There are other parishes that are concerned about so many unknowns as well. So this is not one that I was in full support of because of the uncertainty. Then we have amendment number 2, which is a tax reform. Right now, when the federal tax rates are high, Louisianians are able to deduct more from their state tax return, which means that it's more money in the pocket of the taxpayers, but it's less money that the state collects. And this one is going to lower how much you pay in taxes. So right now, a person that makes $12,500 a year, they pay 2% sales tax. It will be reduced to 1.85% sales tax. Those who make up $37,500, they're paying 4%. That will be reduced to 3.5%. And anyone who makes more than $50,000 a year, they're paying 6% sales tax, and that will be reduced to 4.25%. The reduction in taxes, it sounds good. However, it's putting the state kind of in a blind spot as to how much they're going to be collecting every year. Right now, we have a sense of what we're collecting, and when we change this tax collection, it's going to make it a little bit uncertain. It's going to be a little shaky as to what's the number that's going to come in, which will make creating a budget for the state a little bit more challenging. It's not the end of the world. It's just going to be a little bit more challenging than it needs to be, because there were better tax plans which were proposed and not voted favorably for, clearly. Then there's a taxing authority districts. That's amendment number 3. This would allow the boards of the levy districts, which have been created since 2006, to raise the millage for property taxes up to 5 mils without voter approval. Right now, the Orleans Levy Board, we have a levy annual tax that does not exceed 2.5 mils. And this just changes the taxing authority of the levy districts. It's not anything that we don't already pay. It's a millage that we already pay, and it can be raised up to 5 mils without needing to put it on the ballot every year. This is one that was favorable because it's not a millage that changes every year, and if it needs to go over 5, it would definitely the ballot as a request to voters. The last amendment is was the easiest one, but it is a little bit difficult for people to grasp, because you're seeing these percentages and folks just think you're automatically about to raise their taxes. But this amendment would increase the allowed reduction to statutory deductions and constitutionally protected funds. and it would that increase would go from 5 to 20% when there's a projected deficit. Right now, we know that when there's a deficit, we always cutting education, higher education, and health care. And, you know, before I learned, I was one that was always fussing, why is it that we're always cutting health, higher education? Well, higher education and health care are the only two departments that we can constitutionally deduct from in order to fix projected budget deficits. Right now, we can pull from department to get some money to help with that projected deficit. However, we can only pull 5%. This would allow us to take up to 20% from other departments with before we even have to look at higher education and health care, which we all know are the most vulnerable areas we have right now because students' tuition is constantly going up. The price of health care as well as the access of health care is not equitable. And reducing from those two areas will not help those situations. So, for example, if we had a projected deficit and transportation had a lot of money left over, instead of just taking 5% of their budget, we can cut up to 20% of transportation. It's just an example. It's not something that's actually happening right now. This is just to explain what this amendment is going to do. So this one was something that I was in favor of because it made it a little bit more equitable across the board as to where we cut and how we cut. And I believe that it would make people a little bit more conscious as to how they spend if they know that they would be looked at if there's a deficit somewhere, and it would make their requests of general funds dollars a little bit more reasonable as well if they know that they could be cut later on. I can go into more detail on any of the amendments, or I can answer some questions from any of the callers.
Thank you, Representative Newell. We just want to let the listeners know if you have any questions for Representative Candace Newell, press that number 1 on your phone. You'll be brought in and have the opportunity to share. We have two guests here, so we want to allow them each their full time to give you all the information and then allow you some time to answer questions. So we're going to go ahead with listeners that are tuned in with questions. Representative Newell, we're going to allow you to go for a presentation.
Okay, thank you. With the constitutional amendments, that's about all I had right there. And then next year, well, right now, we are in the process of redistricting across the state. We've started road shows going to each region. We started out in Monroe and in Shreveport, and yesterday I was in Alexandria for a road show there. We will be in New Orleans on January 5th at UNO, and I encourage everyone to come out and listen to the whole redistricting process, what is going to be looked for, and what the courts are looking for, and we want to hear from you as to what you want your districts to look like. When we went to Monroe and Shreveport, there was a big push to get a second minority-majority congressional district so that our Congressman Troy Carter isn't up there fighting for all of us and our communities by himself in Washington. We need to cut the lines so that we have another opportunity to vote someone who is going to listen to and bring forth our issues on a national level. We are also redrawing the districts for House of Representatives as well as the state Senate. And for the first time, we're going to be redrawing the lines for the Supreme Court. And I'm saying the first time. Yeah, it's the first time in an extremely long time that we'll be redrawing those lines. So I really encourage everyone to come out January 5th. I will send out some more information.
And you definitely can call my office to get a reminder of that date. My office number is 504-240-3435. That's 504-240-3435. That's January 5th, and we just want you to come out and get educated and give us your, tell us what you want. This is a listening session for legislators to listen to the constituents that we represent.
Thank you so much, Representative Candace Newell. We thank you so much for your information and sharing on the amendments. We have also, and I'm going to introduce, and while I'm doing that, I'm also want to let the listeners know that you are tuned in to Facing Your Fears radio talk show with none other than the host, Evangelist Norma Chapman. And I want you to know you can feel free to press that number one, come in, make a statement, or ask a question as this information is being shared. We also want to say a special thank you to veterans all over the world for the service unto this country and to each and every one of us. We say thank you to veterans. We acknowledge them all over the world on Facing Your Fears radio talk show. At this time, we are going to bring in our next guest speaker, have a lot of great information for you, and that is none other than Patricia Robertson. So at this time, Ms. Robertson, we're going to yield to you to come in on your amazing topic.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for having me on this show on tonight. And thank our speaker before me for those instructions on the amendments, because so many people are calling and say, should I vote yes, should I vote no? And so to have that good information, we can give them, you know, we could give them the correct answers to when they're going out to vote. But anyway, as she said, I am Dr. Patricia Boyd Robertson, and I'm going to be talking on something a little bit probably different from what you guys may be used to. It is some problems that I know we're looking at, some of the problems that we face in New Orleans, and I'm so glad I even love the name of this radio show, Facing Your Fears, because things that we have to face and that we have to deal with, and if we don't deal with them, we're going to continue to go down a road that is not going to be very very inviting for us. So there are so many issues and so many problems that we face in New Orleans. Most of them we can really do nothing about. You know we vote people in and we try to make the right decisions and we try to get things done. But sometimes it's just, you know, it's like a dead-end street. So we got, I mean, voting is important. We know that we got to keep on putting the right people in place. But there's one thing that plagues New Orleans that we can take responsibility for, and that is the area of poverty. We have to break the cycle of poverty in New Orleans. And I know it's worldwide, but I really want to focus on New Orleans because it's something that we as citizens that we can take the responsibility for. If we break the cycle of poverty, it will help us to rectify some of the other issues that we're dealing with, such as crime, such as drugs, such as homelessness. A lot of the things that we are dealing with is because that cycle of poverty continues to circle and involve us, and we have to break that cycle. We know that and I'm not trying to be religious or whatever, but in the Bible, in Proverbs 13 and 22, it says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that is so important because we have to give to our children, not only to our children, but to our children's children. But if we're not financially prepared, if we're or operating in poverty, then we can't be that good man that God is calling us to be. So we have to add ways. How do we get out of this this poverty cycle? How do we get out of it? And what's so devastating is that when we go to school, even as young kids, you know, when you're 4 and 5 and you're going to kindergarten and you're going to first grade and second grade, we're never taught about money. We're never taught about poverty. We're never taught about how to have wealth or anything like that. And so if it's not taught in the home, a lot of times we're not going to get it. So we have to, so in this session, I just want to talk about how we can break this cycle. It is shocking to know how many people in our community right here in New Orleans live without a checking or savings account. There are people that don't even know what a checking or savings account is. Some people drive cars without car insurance, no health insurance. Their credit scores are very bad. No assets. A lot of them, if you ask them, do they have assets, they don't know what that is. It's time for us to change the statistics. We got to prepare to leave an inheritance for our children's children. This is a issue that we have to deal with, and this is something that we as residents, as individuals, can take the responsibility for ourselves. Just give you a few of statistics. In New Orleans, 37% of households live in asset poverty. That's defined as not having any financial means to support a household for 3 months. If something happens, can you support your household for 3 months? And we know we've seen it with the hurricanes, with the disasters that have come. People did not have money to get out of town. That is terrible. People did not have money to go, you know, people have to stay because to drive to Texas. I can't afford to, whatever. That should not be. We should be taught how to have enough put up just in case a disaster comes, just in case an emergency comes. An emergency fund. Everybody should have an emergency fund. At least 6 months of your bills should be put up for something such as a hurricane or such as an emergency. So these are things that we are not taught, though. So it has to begin in the home. And not only, I mean, a lot of people may not be able to teach it in the home, so we have to have programs out there that can teach our children how to gain wealth. You know, it's the difference between being wealthy and being rich, right? So we have a lot of people that's rich. They get money, but guess what? They spend it on stuff that doesn't have any value. Name brand tennis shoes, name brand cars. You know, cars devalue. As soon as you drive off the car lot, that car is not worth what it was worth when you bought it, right? So we focus on the wrong things. So it's not that we don't get money in our hands. It's just that we don't know what to use the money for. So we're going through this cycle, this constant cycle of the same thing over and over and over. And then it's passed down from one generation to the next. God is not pleased with that. You know, I know we talk about religion and we talk about being spiritual, but this is a part of being spiritual. God said we need to know how to handle money. The Bible said that money is a weapon. How many of us know that money is a weapon? When you have money, guess what? Your values count. Your words count, right? When you have money and you begin to speak, people begin to listen to you. When you go in with no money, guess what? It doesn't matter what you think or what you believe. People are not going to believe that. And I'm not saying that on a negative all the time, but that is the norm, okay? Some additional data, 24% of New Orleans households have zero or negative net worth. 21% of New Orleans residents have no health insurance. 10% of New Orleans working households don't have access to a vehicle. 13% of New Orleans households lack both a checking and savings account. On the positive, though, and this is a trend that we are seeing, especially in this generation that's coming up, most of them own some type of enterprise, some type of business, right? So we are seeing that. But the only bad thing about that is even when they're making the money, they don't know what to do with the money. So they have to have a plan in place to show them how making all of this money that they're making, even in this time, even in this pandemic, we're seeing people making money that they have never made before. But it's just a cycle. They're spending it on stuff that they shouldn't be spending it on, right? So in order for us to help New Orleans families to become more financially secure, we have to put a systems approach that works across the public and private sector to improve access, first of all, to information, the products and protections. So there are 7 tips that I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to be finished. And I know there's going to probably be questions, and if there are things that you need to talk to me about afterwards, that's fine. But number one, we have to educate ourselves. We have to educate our kids. One of the things I learned at a later age, you know, just within the last 10, 15 years, I've learned about wealth and how to get wealth. And so I'm able to pass it down to my children. I kind of missed my children a little bit. They're still doing pretty good. But my grandchildren, they will never have to worry because I've learned how to pass the wealth down to my grandchildren. And sometimes it's so simple. We'll be surprised how $25 a month, when each one of my grandkids were born, the day they were born, I opened a bank account for them for $25 a month. And you'll be surprised how that money begins to grow over time. But you have to know what to invest those funds in as well. Okay, so that's really important that we educate ourselves, we educate our children, teach them how to go into the bank and open a bank account. You know, teach them how to go and read the stock market. Those are things that we've never taught our children, but we need to know. Teach them about life insurance. It's so sad that people are dying every day. And guess what? No life insurance. They got to give suppers to raise money, or they got to cremate. They're not saying that cremation is bad, but they're cremating for the wrong reason because they don't have the money to bury the person. That should not be with the information that we have out here in our world today. That should not be. Number two, we have to change our mindset towards money. We have to change our mindset. We have to know what money is, and that is used to get us to where God wants us to be. First of all, in ministry, money should be used for us to be a ministry to one another. If somebody is in need, we should be able to help that person. Number three, we have to leverage community resources. There are resources out there that we can tap into that many of us do not know. Many of us do not know. We have to, this is a good one, avoid predatory payday lending. I've seen so many people get caught in this trap where they go and borrow this money from this payday loan, and then as soon as their check comes, they have to pay it out. And then when it's time to pay it out, they need it again, so they got to keep on going through the cycle of using this payday loan. I mean, you're paying 40, 50, 60% interest. That's insane. We have to ask someone that we can trust about money, about lending. Number six, focus on your credit. We might think that that's not important, but it is important. And then number seven, don't be afraid to walk away. A lot of times, you know, we go on a car lot and the car dealership man try to get you to buy a car. And we got to let them know we don't just have to have this. We can walk away. Too many times we don't walk away. We just go ahead, get in debt, and then we're stuck. So breaking that poverty cycle is something that, you know, it may not seem that it's important, but it's so important in our community because it can really rectify a lot of the things that we are going through. And most of you know that I am a candidate for Clerk of Criminal District Court, and some of the things that I want to do is prevent people from even coming into the criminal system. So in order to prevent them from coming into the criminal, it's about money. Teach them how it works. Teach them how they can take care of themselves. Teach them that they don't have to go and break in somebody's car. Teach them that they don't have to go and steal from somebody. So with all of these things in place, I think that we can build our communities again, and that's what we're missing. We got to build our communities back up. Our communities are suffering. We are losing, you know, we don't even know our neighbor next door. That's sad. We don't know people in our community no more.
All right, okay? Listeners, we are coming to the end of our episode on today. I did have another episode scheduled for 5 o'clock, and as our guest was speaking, I was trying to see how I can go in and they can just continue what they're talking about, but I've never done it before, and I do not have a clear how we can just go into the next show without clocking out and clocking in. So with that being said, we do want to thank all of you for tuning in on today's show. We want to thank our special guests on today, Representative K. Candace Newell, District 99. She serves in District 99. Also, we want to thank Ms. Patricia Robinson, who's running in the city of New Orleans for the criminal clerk of court. And I hope that you all have some information. And that the studio is telling me that I can start my next show in 5 minutes, but I'm not sure. So if we can just continue, Representative Candace and Mrs. Robinson, because I know you all have not thoroughly fresh your presentations on today. So Ms. Robinson, continue what you are talking about, and then we're going to bring Ms. Candace back into the studio. And then while they're continuing their presentations, I'm going to co-host, I'm going to continue to get information on how we can just let this show go straight into the 5 o'clock show that I had scheduled, because I knew it was going to be going over on today. Okay, co-host? So you just continue with the show. Ms. Robinson, you may continue your presentation shortly after that. Co-host will bring back into the studio with us Representative Candace, and she will continue to speak on amendments. Listeners, if you have any questions, please press that number 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live into the studio where your questions, your concerns, or anything that you have to say to our guests on today will be addressed at that time. Co-host.
Thank you, Dr. Chapman.